We are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13. Dhritarashtra quits home. This morning, text number 18. Translation. Mahatma Vidura knew all this, and therefore he addressed Dhritarashtra, saying, "My dear king, please get out of here immediately. Do not delay. Just see how fear has overtaken you." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Cruel death cares for none, be he Dhritarashtra or even Maharaj Yudhisthira. Therefore, spiritual instruction, as was given to old Dhritarashtra, was equally applicable to younger Maharaj Yudhisthira. As a matter of fact, everyone in the royal palace, including the king and his brothers and mother, were raptly attending the lectures. It was known to Vidura that his instructions were especially meant for Dhritarashtra, who was too materialistic. The word Rajan is especially addressed to Dhritarashtra significantly. Dhritarashtra was the eldest son of his father, and therefore, according to law, he was to be installed on the throne of Hastinapur. But because he was blind from birth, he was disqualified from his rightful claim. But he could not forget the bereavement, and his disappointment was somewhat compensated after the death of Pandu, his younger brother. His younger brother left behind him some minor children, and Dhritarashtra became the natural guardian of them. But at heart, he wanted to become the factual king and hand the kingdom over to his own sons, headed by Duryodhana. With all these imperial ambitions, Dhritarashtra wanted to become a king, and he contrived all sorts of intrigues in consultation with his brother-in-law Shakuni. But everything failed by the will of the Lord. And at the last stage, even after losing everything, men and money, he wanted to remain as king, being the eldest uncle of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Maharaj Yudhisthira, as a matter of duty, maintained Dhritarashtra in royal honor. And Dhritarashtra was happily passing away his numbered days in the illusion of being a king or the royal uncle of King Yudhisthira. Vidura, as a saint and as the duty-bound, affectionate youngest brother of Dhritarashtra, wanted to awaken Dhritarashtra from his slumber of disease and old age. Vidura, therefore, sarcastically addressed Dhritarashtra as a king, which he was actually not. Everyone is the servant of eternal time, and therefore no one can be king in this material world. King means the person who can order. The celebrated English king wanted to order time and tide, but the time and tide refused to obey his order. Therefore, one is a false king in the material world. And Dhritarashtra was particularly reminded of this false position and of the factual fearful happenings which had already approached him at that time. Vidura asked him to get out immediately if he wanted to be saved from the fearful situation which was approaching him fast. He did not ask Maharaj Yudhisthira in that way because he knew that a king like Maharaj Yudhisthira is aware of all the fearful situations of this flimsy world and would take care of himself in due course, even though Vidura might not be present at that time. vidurastadabhipretya dhritarashtram abhasata rajan nirgamyatam sigram pashyadam bayamagatam. Mahatma Vidura knew all this, and therefore he addressed Dhritarashtra, saying, "My dear king, please get out of here immediately. Do not delay. Just see how fear has overtaken you." So this chapter describes the appearance of Vidura in Hastinapur. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. Vidura suddenly returns into the palace of Hastinapur after over 30 years of absence. Vidura will be narrating much more. He will be asking questions to Maitreya. The content of the third canto and fourth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, describe the meeting of Vidura first with Uddhava, and then Uddhava sends him to Maitreya. And there's a long discussion. Vidura puts lots of questions to Maitreya. And then after Vidura gets all this instruction from Maitreya, then he comes back to Hastinapur. So you may question, why is this chapter coming in the first canto? Why don't we hear about Vidura first meeting with Maitreya? And then we hear about Vidura coming back. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam is not really composed in chronological order like that. Vyasadeva compiles the Srimad Bhagavatam and he wants to describe the cursing of Sukadeva Goswami. And in order to properly account the cursing of Maharaj Parikshit, the cursing of Maharaj Parikshit and his meeting Sukadeva Goswami. So in order to set the scene for that, he first of all has to describe about this departure of Dhritarashtra leaving home, which is brought on by his meeting with Vidura. And then also he will describe about the Pandavas retiring timely and Parikshit becoming the ruler, and then ultimately Parikshit being cursed, which sets the scene for the speaking of Srimad Bhagavatam. So these two incidents, Dhritarashtra quitting home and the Pandavas retiring, they're important for setting the speaking of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Vidura comes back to Hastinapur after being away for over 30 years. We will hear why he left home. Actually, he was insulted by the son of Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana, had used harsh language against him. Vidura was telling Dhritarashtra that this son of yours is not good. Duryodhana is not a good son. That you'll have to deal with him very carefully, very strictly, and don't listen to everything he tells you. But Dhritarashtra was not only blind materially, he was blind spiritually also. He was very heavily attached and affectionate to his sons, especially his eldest son, Duryodhana. And he did not take the advice of Vidura seriously. And the result was that Duryodhana insulted Vidura, insulted him as, you know, being the son of a Sudrani and just somebody who was maintained in their palace, didn't really belong there. And so this kind of harsh words, Vidura took these as the arrangement of Krishna, the action of Yogamaya, that Krishna was arranging these harsh words to be spoken to him in order that Vidura would get out from the palace, that he would go out and leave home. And he left and went to visit all the holy places of pilgrimage. He took this as his opportunity that he could go and visit all the holy places and meet the saintly persons. And of course, that's the real purpose of going to the holy place, to hear from saintly persons. And he does meet with both Uddhava and then Maitreya. And he gets a lot of spiritual instruction from them. They're able to properly satisfy his desire to hear all topics of Lord Krishna. And after all of that, which takes over 30 years, Vidura comes back. And he comes back to Hastinapur because he's heard about the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty. And he knows also that Lord Krishna has finished his pastimes. So he comes back to Hastinapur, not to bring this news, but he wants to preach to his brother, Dhritarashtra. He feels he's not feeling attachment for his family. He's not just thinking, oh, my family, I haven't seen them for so many years, I have to go back and see them. No, it's not out of affection based on the skin, but he feels some sense of duty to his brother, that he knows that Dhritarashtra was so blind, both materially and spiritually. And he had committed many offenses as a result of this attachment. So he wanted to somehow help his brother to free himself from his horrible situation, which awaited him, unless Vidura was to give him the proper instruction. So this is the first instruction Vidura is giving. He's come back to see Dhritarashtra, and he's been giving lectures. Of course, you've heard how Maharaj Yudhisthira received him. He described him as the holy place personified. Bhavadvida Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Shayam Vibho Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani Swantasthena Gadabrata. That Maharaj Yudhisthira glorifies Vidura, that you are yourself the holy place he's personified, because you carry in your heart the Supreme Lord. So wherever you go, that becomes a holy place. So Vidura had come back and he was giving discourses. He'd come back not as a relative, but he'd come back as a holy man, as a sadhu. He'd changed. He wasn't the same person. When he left, he was just their relative, their family member. But now he'd come back after all the association, after getting so much knowledge, he was a different person. And he was giving discourses every day in the palace of Hastinapur. He was preaching. And they were all happy to hear. They were enjoying so much to see, oh, their relative had become so saintly and so learned, so much knowledge. They were appreciating. But he had some special purpose. He didn't just come back. He didn't just return only to preach to them, but he had to give special instruction to Dhritarashtra. And what is that instruction? The first instruction, get out from home. You have to get out from here. So this is probably the most difficult thing to do. Not an easy instruction to take. But it's very, very important if we want to actually dedicate ourselves to the lotus feet of the Lord. We have to get out from the entanglement of the material world. So we can understand how much Dhritarashtra was entangled, how deep he was entangled, that he was living with his relatives. And Vidura will go on to describe all of the atrocities which his relatives had committed against him. That he is living in the home of Bhima, who had killed his 100 sons and drank the blood from their heart. You know, but there is the Dhritarashtra eating the remnants of Bhima. So, you know, this is very shameful. How it could be like this? You know, Vidura is bringing up all of these things to awaken some sense in the mind of Dhritarashtra. Because Dhritarashtra is just living there comfortably in the palace, thinking, this is my home. This is my home. I've been living here all my life. I should live here. I have a right to be here. I belong here. My wife is here. And they're my relatives. Even though they killed all my other sons, they're my relatives. And so Vidura insults. Prabhupada brings out that he uses this word Rajan. He calls him, oh king, you know. Actually, he's not a king at all. But he understood the mind. Vidura could understand the mind of his brother, Dhritarashtra. That Dhritarashtra badly wanted to be the king. He's so much attached to this idea. Certainly, that would be natural, because he was the eldest son. But by nature's will, he was born blind and could not therefore accept the responsibility of king. And then he lost. But then he got the opportunity again, because Pandu died at an early age and his own sons were not old enough to become the rulers. So Dhritarashtra was obliged to become the king. But he wanted that his son should be the king after he departed. And it wasn't meant to be like that. So this is the nature of family life. It's full of intrigues. You know, you may not be living as king, but actually, in the home, everyone thinks I'm king. You know, we may have only a small house, but still we're thinking I am king. You know, the wife and children are like our army. We're trying to conquer, you know, we become attached to this situation and we think of the material world as being for our own enjoyment. We create our own little place of sense gratification. The home, like our castle. So it's very important that we understand how to properly organize our life. The Vedic system was arranged for people to purify their existence. The householder life is only a part of the life. Ultimately, one has to also detach oneself from that position. Successful householder life is when you move on to the next ashram, vanaprast. You retire from life, from the material responsibilities. And especially this was the duty of kings. So Dhritarashtra liked the idea of being king. But he should have also understood that part of the duty of the king is to retire and to enter into the forest, to accept the next ashram of vanaprast. And this was of course done by many saintly kings in the past. As it's described in Srimad Bhagavatam, we can read how many great kings, they would rule the world for some time and then they would retire. Their son would take the throne and they would go off to the forest. So this was part of the duty of the kings. Not that they would simply hold on to the power and position till the last end of life. But they would renounce, they would show that detachment from the worldly duties. And this duty is there for every civilized person, that we have to recognize the impending attacks of time. Inevitable time, the influence of time is there for everyone. In the purport, Prabhupada explains that no one can conquer time. Prabhupada gave the example, he mentions about one English king who had the the king said he wasn't in any ignorance about his own power, but his foolish citizens thought that this king is very powerful, that he's so powerful that if he orders the sea to go back, the sea will go back. So he told his citizens, put my throne on the beach. Just put my throne on the beach when the tide is out, and we will see if the tide will listen to my command. So they put his throne there, and he sat on the throne. And then the tide started coming in, and he was saying, "Go back, go back," you know. And he shouted loud and louder, but still the sea didn't go back. The sea still kept coming. So in this way, he showed his citizens, "You see, I'm not so powerful as what you thought I was." This is a very common thing. There have been many great kings in the past who thought they could conquer over nature. In China, there's a famous queen. She was also very powerful. She thought she was so powerful that she would order flowers to bloom out of season. And they would bring all different flowers, and she would order them that they had to open up and bloom without consideration of the season. But there was one flower, it wouldn't listen to her command. So she ordered, "Get all of those flowers out of my kingdom. They cannot remain in my kingdom." So, I mean, this is the kind of, you know, thinking, you know, when you're a king, you naturally become so attached to power and position. So many kings, they would have doctors try to make some medicine to make them immortal so that they could live forever. Just like our famous story of Hiranyakashipu. He wanted that he should never die. So there were many kings like Hiranyakashipu, and they didn't want to die. And you don't have to be king in the sense of king. But, you know, in the material world, practically everyone is thinking they're a king, a little king, you know. And we also don't want to die. You know, we're thinking we can live forever. Whenever we get some disease, you know, we run to the doctors and plead, "Please save me. Let me live a few more years." And that's kind of natural. Prabhupada tells about his one friend who was doing a big project, and the doctor told him he'd got some disease, he wasn't going to live very long, and he pleaded with the doctor, "Doctor, I have to have 4 more years. I have to finish my work." But the doctor's not controlling these things. The doctors can't save anyone from death. You know, they try to fight disease, but ultimately everyone is a victim of time. It is time which conquers everyone. And that time, that is Krishna himself. And no one can conquer this insurmountable energy. So Vidura is telling Dhritarashtra, "You have to understand the nature of this material world. Therefore, if you appreciate the nature of this material world, you have to get out from home now. Don't remain at home. Don't just remain where all your family members are going to comfort you and pamper you. But prepare for death. It's a science. You know, if we know we're growing old, we know we're going to suffer disease and die one day, we have to do something about it. And the proper thing to do about it is to prepare for the next life. Not to just try to cure the disease, not just to try to live longer. Trees also live a long time. What is the value of a lifetime like a tree? I'm seeing so many trees out here. You know, you look outside, you're so fortunate, this temple, you see so many trees. Although you're in the heart of a city, you still have so many trees outside. So these trees, they live a long time. So long as somebody doesn't come and cut them down, then, you know, they'll live a long time. But what is the value of a life like a tree? Better a moment of full consciousness. Shankaracharya was in this world only 32 years. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in this world only 48 years. Not long lives, but a great contribution. They did wonderful things. But if we just spend our whole life just only working hard, collecting money, having a nice home, what is the value of that life? If in our next life we become a dog in the street, What a waste of the human form of life. So human life is meant for thoughtfulness. And it's meant for, at the end of this life, we're meant to prepare for the next life. Therefore, Vidura is telling Dhritarashtra. Vidura is telling them, he uses the word sigram. Huh? We have that saying in India, subhasya sigram. The auspicious thing, you must do it immediately. Whenever we would go for collection to make life member, you know, they'll always say, oh, just give me some more time. You know, come back and see me another time. Not today, you know. They'll always want to delay, right? You want someone to become a life member, to become a donor or something. But they will always say, today is not a very good day. You come another time, you know. So we would always have to say, subhasya sigram. You know. That the auspicious thing, you have to do it now, without delay. So here also, the same word, sigram, Vidura is telling Dhritarashtra, get out immediately, without delay. You know, you can't, we have that tendency. Prabhupada met many people like that. You know, and every time Prabhupada would be telling them, you know, why don't you also take sannyas? Why don't you also join? And they say, yes, Swamiji, but just let me, I just have to do one more thing, you know. And then next time Prabhupada came and they say, yeah, I just have one more thing to do, you know. And there's like this, you would always put it off, you know. There's always something else to be done, which seems to be more important. But all the time is coming nearer. We're using up our time in this material body. The body is dwindling. Prabhupada said he had taken sannyas in his old age. The devotees were telling Prabhupada that, you know, you should not travel so much. You should just stay in one place. And Prabhupada said, because I did not travel and preach when I was a young man, so I have to do it in my old age. So, if you wait till you're old, when you have to travel and preach then. But if you're young men, travel and preach when you're young, then in your old age you can sit down in a holy place and chant the holy name and read the books of the Goswamis. So, like this, Prabhupada was instructing human life. It's meant for, ultimately we have to detach ourselves. That comes, the Vedic system is there. That from the Vedas say, pancha sordvam vanam brajat. From the age of 50, you should enter into the forest. Go and live in the forest. Now, where is the forest in Kali Yuga? You know, where is the forest here in Hyderabad, Secunderabad? You know, there's no forest here anymore. Even you go out from the city, the forests are all destroyed. They're building some housing estate there now or something. You know. So, where is the forest? The forest, actually, this ISKCON society, our temples, this is as good as the forest. Because here you get the spiritual atmosphere. You get Krishna's service and Krishna Katha, the association with saintly persons. So that come to the ISKCON society. And you don't need to go to the forest, you just come to the ISKCON centers and associate here. And that is the best preparation for the next life. So, Krishna consciousness, we're training people actually. You know, there's that one group, they call themselves the Art of Living. So, one of our devotees, he was traveling in the train and he met some of them and they were preaching to him. They said, we're from the Art of Living. He said, oh, I'm from the Art of Dying. Yeah, so, yeah, we prepare people for death. Yeah. I mean, that's a bit pessimistic, really. Actually, we're more the art of loving God. You know, If you want to be an art, okay, we are the art of loving God. And you can see how we love God. We read the books about God, we worship God, we sing the songs about God, everything. You know. So, but the Krishna Conscious Society is preparing all of us for the next life. This is the idea. That we have to understand the nature of this material world. And you may say, well, you know, that's for old people. I'm still young. You know, young people, we don't have to bother about that. But sometimes young people also die. Don't think that because you're young, you won't die until you're old. Sometimes also young people die. I was in the Middle East last year, and there was a young the ruler of one of the kingdoms there. His young son died, only 18 years old. He was driving one of his father's cars. His father, because his father's a ruler, so he had over 30 cars. So the son would take one of the cars. But, you know, it's a desert country, very flat, roads are straight. So you go too fast. And, the car took off, flew in the air, turned over, and everybody in the car was killed. You can't say, hey, just a minute, my father's the king, I cannot die. No. Even your father may be the king, you still may die. Nature is like that. The laws are very stringent. Nobody overcomes the laws of material nature. So we have to understand the nature of this material world. Every one of us, we have to prepare for a better next life. And the best preparation is to be engaged in Krishna's service. Not to just simply waste our time idling away. So many young people, they waste their time just simply playing with the computer. No, computer games. And they will pass hours away with meaningless games on the computer. Or watching meaningless cinema shows. You know, people will waste their lives in so many foolish things which will have no value to them at the time of death. But if we do some little service for Krishna, we learn to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, then this is of real benefit to us. And that can save us at that moment of death. So Vidura, he's Yamaraj, actually. He was cursed to take birth from the womb of a Sudra woman. He's actually an incarnation of Yamaraj. So, you know, he's actually, although he's coming and he's warning Dhritarashtra, because he knows what's awaiting Dhritarashtra if he does not do something drastic. So, of course, Vidura was a powerful preacher, and he was able to influence the mind of Dhritarashtra. He was able to convince him that he should get out from the home. So this is something which, you know, we all have to think about. We don't have to do it abruptly. As I said, the ISKCON temple, this is the real place to come to get shelter. If you live near the temple, you can come to the temple regularly, then very good. This is the best place. We don't have to go to the forest like Dhritarashtra. We will get the same instruction Dhritarashtra got here. Actually, we get better instruction. Dhritarashtra, he couldn't take up devotional service because he was too much of an offender. His heart was too hard and too covered by offenses. So Vidura could not teach him about bhakti yoga. He had to take up the impersonal path and liberate himself by mystic yoga. So Dhritarashtra couldn't get the ultimate perfection to go back to Godhead, but he could get impersonal liberation ultimately. So that was a lot better than simply taking birth as some animal in his next life. So are there any questions or comments on this verse?
Yes. Yes.
They'll come back to the material world eventually. But again, once they come back, he's got a chance that maybe he will get, you know, association. He can do better. Coming back in the material, impersonalists come back to the material world, but they come back in some elevated position. They don't come back in some low form of life. They take some elevated position, high position. How does one observe Vanaprastha in ISKCON? Well, you take more active service in ISKCON. You take up more full-time service in ISKCON. Vanaprastha means you've retired from material responsibilities, so you don't have to go to the office every day. You come to the temple, and you can do service here, around the temple. We always need people to do service here. Sometimes you can go out for preaching also. That's also very good. You go out and meet people, and you can organize Bhakti Briksha groups, and you can have much more time reading and chanting. This is Vanaprastha. You don't have to worry about making money all day. Of course, you can make some money for Krishna, make some money for the temple. That's very nice. But you have more time for hearing and chanting. You come to the full temple program and do service for the temple. You can wear saffron also if you like. Yeah, Vanaprastha is also wear saffron.
Like Prabhupada says, Vidura has taken sannyas, he stayed outside 30 years means.
Prabhupada.
Vidura.
Oh, Vidura, yeah.
He stayed outside 30 years. But is it like considered as a sannyas or?
I never saw anywhere that he took sannyas. But he's a sadhu.
Because the instruction that once you have taken sannyas, never see the wife or especially that because he came to the same house.
No, I never saw anywhere that he'd taken sannyas. It doesn't say that. But he's certainly a sadhu. Well, he was the caretaker king until the Pandavas grew up. He was meant to be the caretaker, you know. He was the uncle of the Pandavas. And he was just like, you know, because the Pandavas were still young children, so they could not fulfill any of the royal duties. But Dhritarashtra was there as their uncle, so he was the caretaker king, waiting for the Pandavas to grow up. Although he was blind, he was given, you know, that opportunity to do that service. As he was a qualified person. Huh? Yeah, but because he was blind, it was not considered, you know, appropriate that he should be the king. That they should have the second son, Pandu, was just almost the same age as Dhritarashtra. And he has good eyesight, so he's much more qualified to take the throne. You know, as a king, they will have to deal with, you may have to go and fight battles. They have to lead their army. But if the king is blind, you know, he's helpless. He's dependent on others. So certainly, so long as Pandu was alive, you know, they wanted Pandu to be the king. But as soon as Pandu left the world, his children are still young, so they have to ask Dhritarashtra to take some of the responsibility until the Pandavas grow up. just like that. Yes, it's surprising. You know, this is the way it is in the royal families. To be the king, you're going to be the king. You know, if the king is blind, then anything can happen to him. People can take advantage of him in so many ways. He's dependent on so many on others constantly. Yudhisthira, yeah. Yeah, Prabhupada is pointing out that one should not be too much attached. Well, Vidura's instruction was attachment to the family. So that instruction was to Yudhisthira also. But he wasn't having to give the same instruction to Yudhisthira to get out of the home immediately. Because he knew that Yudhisthira, he's aware of this. And ultimately Yudhisthira and the Pandavas, they did get out of home. They were told, Narada Muni had told them, that when you get news of Lord Krishna's departure from the world, then at that time you can also leave. And they did. Maharaj Yudhisthira did. As soon as he got news that Lord Krishna had left this world, then Maharaj Yudhisthira enthroned Maharaj Parikshit, and they all left. The Pandavas retired. And that chapter will be coming. So Yudhisthira was getting the instruction also. Don't become attached. Because that's the danger of taking of the family life. You have a family, you can get very easily attached. You can tend to become very comfortable there. And you never want to leave. Because certainly a lot of comfort, a lot of pleasure and enjoyment is there. Family life is, there's responsibilities, but people have that nature that we become a little comfortable and happy there. You never want to leave. But we have to understand the nature of this world. So as devotees, we prepare ourselves for these things. We understand the nature of this world, this body. Komaram yovanam jara tatadihantara praktir diras tatra namuyat. We have to become dira. But that doesn't mean that we're just oblivious to the changes of the body. As the body changes, we have to see the warning is there, and we have to cultivate that detachment prepare ourselves for the next birth. And the preparation is by becoming more absorbed in spiritual activities. For some time in householder life, we can be absorbed in the family affairs. That is the grihastha life. Definitely there will be more opportunities to be absorbed in making money and getting the family properly situated and making a nice home. But ultimately, we have to detach. We have to leave these things behind. You can't take them with you. But we can take our spiritual assets with us. So some people may say, oh, it's very selfish. You're only thinking about your own salvation. But actually, this is a real example. This example has to be taught. As devotees, we have to teach people how to make proper use of old age. In America, there's no retirement age. People work till they drop. They'll just keep working, making money, and then they drop. Oh. And so what kind of life is that? Yeah. They don't understand. What is their next life? Now you're the boss of the big factory, and the next life you come back as a rat in the factory. What is the kind? That's not a great credit. So human life is meant, it's an opportunity. We have to prepare ourselves for the better next life, to elevate ourselves. Ideally, we want to get out from the wheel of birth and death. If you have to come back again in this material world, then we have failed. You know, we have our book, Coming Back. You've read that book, Coming Back? The last chapter is called Don't Come Back. If you come back, you have failed. You know, you have a nice loving wife. At the time of death, you think of your loving wife. Next life, you become a woman. Right? At least if the woman thinks of her husband, she can get a man's body in her next life. But if her husband's a devotee and goes back to Godhead, then she can also follow her husband back to Godhead. So the man, the husband is meant to be a strong Vaishnava, completely devoted to Lord Krishna. And the wife is meant to follow her husband. This is a Vedic system. But if they're both attached to the family and the money and the home, then they're doomed. They have to come again, material world. And there's no guarantee what kind of birth, where you will be, what kind of body. Just because we have a human body now doesn't mean we'll always have a human body. There are so many examples. And Kali Yuga is progressing. We have seen how much the world, how much civilization has deteriorated, how much the atmosphere, the pollution has increased, how everything has become so, you know, we think, oh, the world is advancing because there's a little technology and microchips and stuff. But in so many ways, the world has become so much worse, so much deterioration is there in living standards, in health of human beings, the oxygen content that we breathe, water supply, food that we eat. And it will get worse and worse as Kali Yuga goes on. It's not going to get any better. So we don't want to come back to this material world. And if we're convinced of that, then we'll take up this Krishna consciousness. We'll work very hard to engage ourselves in Krishna service, regularly chanting and hearing and associating with the devotees. And this can save us. Yes. Yeah, Vanaprastha can stay in the house, even family members are there. Vanaprastha doesn't mean you have to go out from the house. You know, it just means you dedicate yourself more to spiritual duties. You can keep your wife with you. Your wife can serve you. But you have to be more absorbed in Krishna's service. That is Vanaprastha. You're not always thinking how much money there is there, have we paid the bills and like that, you know. Let other younger people take on these responsibilities and you become more devoted to Krishna. You come to the temple and do service here, or you have a temple in your home, whatever. Best is to come here and do service in the temple. Like that. But you can still stay at home. You can still be at home. But the relationship, you know, the intimacy and everything, that's finished. You're preparing for the next life. You're getting serious. Right? So, we have to understand, that, you know, that we see the body dwindling. We have to do something about it. Warning, the body is warning us, nature is warning us. We have to get ready for changing the body. Are we ready? So this is the preparation. You hear and chant about Krishna, absorb our mind in Krishna. Not that you're thinking, oh, have I left enough money for my, is there enough money to take care of my family and everything? You don't need to think like that. Get the children married as quick as possible, you know, have them married. and then they take over the responsibility. Why do you become a householder when you know there's a lot of attachments and responsibilities there? Well, sometimes we have to learn by experience. You know, if you don't experience how much entanglement and how much attachment is there, you know, sometimes we don't really believe it. Sometimes we think actually, it's not so bad. You know, they look happy, you know. It's also part of the Vedic system. We need Krishna conscious children. We need God conscious children. It's not that you have to get attached. We do need God conscious children. That's an important service. You become a householder and produce God conscious children. And when you produce that child, you should think that this will be this child's last birth in the world. That this child will never have to take another body. You should have a child who is a pure devotee of Krishna or an incarnation of God. Like that, you know. So that is householder life like that. That is very good. Ideal householder life. But if you just become a householder for sense gratification and become attached, that's not good. Householders are doing a lot of service in our movement. Don't think all the householders are fallen and all attached. There are many very elevated householders within our Krishna conscious society. They're very advanced devotees, very senior. Some are also spiritual masters. They're very elevated. So don't think it's a step back. It's up to you. The householder life is a chance to take more responsibility. You can do much more preaching also as a householder. Because we need to show people, because most of the world are householders. And so if you're a householder, if you're just simply a brahmachari or sannyasi, they will say, oh, it's all right for you. You don't know what it's like. You don't have a wife. You don't have children. You don't know all about you. But if you're a householder, then you can preach, look, I have my family. I have my wife. I'm also working. But I'm also a devotee. So the preaching is more meaningful, more powerful. So we need preachers. We need householders like that who are preachers. They can do very valuable service. But, you know, if you just simply become attached and think, well, I'm a householder, I can't get up in the morning, or I can't chant 16 rounds, I'm a householder, I'm fallen. Yeah, so if you think like that, then that's not very good. Then better get out from the house. But you can be an ideal householder. We want people like that. We're training people for ideal householder life. Okay, ladies, any questions? All right, we'll stop here then. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Premanande.